Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Final hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on this Wednesday afternoon. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Chase had to take care of some personal stuff. He'll be back with us tomorrow on the program. He had to step away. Right now, our weekly chat with Chris Mason. Willie's partner on the television side, former Predators goaltender, now joins us. C-Mace, what's up?
Not a whole lot. Just looking forward to talking to you guys. How you guys doing?
Well, we're looking forward to talking to you. We're doing great, and I got to be honest, we talked about this yesterday on the show. I don't think anybody could have seen the bombshell that happened in the Islanders Lightning Game 1, right? I mean, to see Tampa do that to that New York team, that the way they've played and as responsible as they've been and how difficult they make it, that was surprising to see.
That was really surprising, especially the way that they closed out the series before. And then to come out in that game and then Tampa just runs right over them like they weren't even, you know, look, it was just such an easy game for them. But, I mean, that's the two contrasting styles. But, I you know, the thing about Tampa Bay is a lot of times I don't think they get enough credit for how good they are defensively. I think they're really good, hard team to play against on the defensive side of the things, and that's why they end up with the puck a lot. And then when they get, you know, they move the puck up to their forward group, they've got, you know, one of the most talented forward groups in the National Hockey League, and the way that they play so fast, and it starts with the transition from their defense to their forwards. And I think you just saw probably one of their best games, if not the best game that they've played all playoffs at the, you know, most crucial time against the Islanders, who, you know, pretty much made, you know, easy work of a lot of teams and made them look pretty silly, you know, with the lack of ability, I guess, for the other teams to create any offense on them. And that wasn't the case in game one. Pretty impressive from Tampa.
No doubt about it. What makes Kucherov, and I'm going to throw Braden Point in there too, because these two have been just so good for Tampa. What makes them the players that they are? At least, especially in the Tampa system.
Well, I just think they've definitely got the freedom, but they play with such speed, finesse, and power. And I think when you have that combination, and obviously the skill level with Kucherov is just off the charts. And you know, Point's the same. He's not quite as flashy. I guess they're kind of flashy in different ways. But I think when you combine all those things and you have, you know, a lot of it is what they have built around them when they have the pieces that they do. Again, and to me, it starts with their back end, you know, and Hedman, and you got, you know, Zach Bogosian's coming in, and he's played really well. And they give those guys the opportunity and the freedom to kind of, you know, do as they please offensively. But they're a very well-coached team. And I think it's a team that, this year, I thought would be very dangerous, not only just because of how talented they were, but because of what happened to them last year. And usually when that happens to a team as good and as talented as Tampa Bay, that, you know, they have a lot of control over what happens next. And I think after the disappointment when they got swept from Columbus last year, it's been sitting with them ever since, and this is their time for payback. And when you have talent, you know, like Kucherov, and, you know, Stamkos, Benoit, and Hedman, and, you know, go up and down the list of that team. Well, they got so many guys. They got so many unsung guys, too, that we don't even really talk about. But those guys, they're game breakers. Those are the guys that every game, one of those guys is on the score sheet, no matter what. and they're getting you the points, and they get them in the big games. And it's, you know, I was blown away what happened in game one, though. I did not see that coming. I was looking forward to that game just to see how the contrast would look with those two teams. But yeah, that was, Grice won't be starting this game. I'll tell you that much too. So.
I suspect you are 100% correct. Can you talk about just those, for whatever it, I don't even know how you put a finger on it. You understand in the room. So kind of take us in the room. What certain guys, for whatever reason, wherever they are, team has success. Like Pat Maroon. Like that, it can't be a coincidence. Everywhere he goes, the team has, you know, success, and the team is making a magical run in the playoffs or making a deep run in the playoffs. Like, I just can't imagine that's a coincidence. Maybe you'll tell me it is. Justin Williams, how much he meant to Carolina last year. Can you just talk about having one of those guys in your room and what that means to a room?
Well, I think, you know, if you look at both of those guys, there are a lot of those types of guys. Because they've had success and because they have such a good reputation, and especially for Maroon and Williams are obviously different players, but the roles that they play, whatever that team needs, you know, Tampa needed to be a little tougher and they needed a little more sandpaper. And if you look at the way Pat Maroon in his career, and, you know, he'll get you the odd goal too. He's not a bad player, but he's really physical. And he's one of those guys that just, you know, pumps up the guys and he goes out there and does his thing. And teams that are successful know, that they need certain types of personalities, certain types of players. Obviously, if you look at St. Louis, he was a big reason that they, you know, that they had the identity that they had, that they played like a lot like Craig Berube played when he was a player. Now you got a Pat Maroon who, you know, Tampa Bay, they're looking at their team like, geez, we had one of the best regular seasons of all time, and all of a sudden we get stomped and swept in the playoffs. What do we need? Well, we need character. We need that dressing room presence. We need that, you know, that guy, that physicality of that player that's going to make us all play, you know, a couple inches taller and a little more fearless as a team, a little harder to play against. And teams that are successful and that win have that element. They have all of those elements. They have the skill that we talked about. They have the solid defensive play that we talked about. They have the goaltending. But they also have that physicality and that type of player and that character and those players that are in the dressing room that, you know, us as fans and, you know, media covering the team that we don't see, but you do see the product of it on the ice and the result of having those types of personality. And that's exactly why they brought him in there. You know, he's not going to be the most coveted free agent every year, but teams know that you need character inside that room, whether you're a superstar player, whether you're a role player, that character and that, you know, the ability to make the players around you better in different ways. And I think he's one of those types of guys that, you know, makes everybody a little more comfortable and a little more tougher out there on the ice and a little harder to play against as a team.
I've said since the Predators were eliminated by the Coyotes that they need one of those guys in their room. You talk to, you know, you got a lot of hockey circles. You've got eyes that you watch these games and you know, around the league. Is there anybody that would jump out to you that would make sense, like this type of guy? Is there anybody that you've always kind of eyeballed and said, man, that guy, I would just be curious if there was a name that, you know, interests you that fits that, you know, that bill, what we were just describing?
I would have to go. I have to pay a little more attention to who's available coming up on free agency. But you know, past guys that we've had, and I'm just trying to think. It's hard when you don't know the personality of players.
Sure,
Pat Maroon is definitely a guy that, obviously, he, you know, if they do something special here, I don't know how long his deal, but that type of player that has, you know, that presence on the ice as well as in the dressing room. I think you need to have both. I always think of the best example of that is a player. If you could get a Matthew Tkachuk-esque type of player, I know he's not available for a couple years yet, but that type of player, I mean, and they're like gold. It's hard to find. You almost have to draft a player like that and make a conscious effort of identifying that as one of your, you know, just as important of a need as it is to find a left wing and goal scorer. or, you know, a puck moving defenseman or a goaltending prospect. I think that type of character and skill set is just as important as those. It makes, you know, all the difference in the world if you're talking about being a good hockey team or a great hockey team. So I'd have to look at the free agent list, okay, see more of who is available. But somebody like that, that's cutting that cloth, even like the Tom Wilson, you know, that kind of player that, you know, just, it's just hard to play against. Other teams, like, you just, other fan bases hate the guy. They hate the people. They, you know, other, the players hate playing against them. And everybody knows you would love that guy if he was on your team. If you were cheering for him and he's wearing your jersey, you would love everything he did. Matthew Tkachuk, you ask any player in the league, I guarantee you, every single one of them will tell you how much they hate him and how much they hate playing against him, can't stand him, but would love to have him on their team. And that's how I feel about a guy like that for the Predators, I think would make just such a huge difference.
Talking to Chris Mason, talking Nashville Predators, talking NHL. Mace, with that in mind, this is a tricky one because Yakov Trenin brings some of that to the table. He hasn't done it for the long period of time that some of these veterans were referencing have, but he brings those ingredients, and we like what we see. So you got a complicated situation, which we've seen from time to time before, with a Russian player being lured by his home country to play in the KHL. So how do you try to value Yakov Trenin? I think when Darren and I and Chase were discussing it, we feel like it might be worth giving him the one-way contract at this point. But then what's the money, and how can you ensure that you keep him in the fold? Because I think we all would like to see him in a Predator uniform this year.
Well, he is a player that I really think in that mold, and he really surprised me when he got called up, because I feel in the games that he played, I feel he was such an effective player. I feel that the physicality that he brought, I didn't really know he had that type of a mean streak in him. I know he's got a lot of skill. He's lit up the score sheets in the American Hockey League, and I thought he played some really good skill and speed and straight line, hard-nosed hockey when he got called up too. And it was funny that it seemed every line that he played on when he did get called up was one of the most effective lines in whatever game it was, depending, you know, no matter how much ice time he got or not. So I think that's a player to me. I think if I'm looking at the Predators lineup, that, you know, if you're talking about all these prospects, that I know everyone offers a different, you know, thing and ingredient to your lineup. But if I'm looking at the Predators lineup, that's the type of player that I think you need. And I think that he will cost you a lot less than if you went out and tried to address that via free agency, depending on, you know, the type of player. Next time I talk to you, I'll have a better idea of who's available, because I think this is a great topic, and especially moving forward for the Preds of who they, you know, want to fill the roster out. But I think Trenin's a guy who could have, you know, been impactful in the playoffs as well. I think that this is a guy, I have no problem putting him in the lineup every single night, because not only can he bring that physicality, and the thing about it is, I don't know if he can do it for 82 games. I don't know if he has that mean streak in him, or if he was just doing it because he got called up and he was trying to make a roster spot, or if that's who he is as a player. I haven't seen him enough in Milwaukee. If that is who he is, and he's only going to grow in that role, and he will embrace it until he, you know, climbs his way up the lineup and he's on the top two lines, and he continues to play like that, then I'm all for it. I'm all for a one-way to keep him over here, because I think he could be a valuable piece. I think he's a roster player.
I would agree, and the tricky thing is, as we've seen, is the KHL creates leverage for a player that is willing to go back home. It might be different for some players. There have been players from other countries that have used the KHL for leverage to get a better deal in the NHL, and that's where you have to be careful, and the Predators would have his rights even if he went and played there. But that's, you can't go too high in your budget, knowing that you got some tough decisions to make with your cap as it is.
Well, that's the tricky part. Yeah, that you're right, 100%. It's all, you know, dollars and cents at the end of the day. But if it is the opportunity and the one way, you know, that Trenin's looking for, then you know, you're not going to be able to match the dollar amount that, you know, the KHL is going to throw out to Trenin, and it's tax-free. And I know, you know, in the past, a lot of Russian players have no issue playing home. They like being there. They like playing there. But at the same time, their first choice is to play in the NHL. And if, you know, if you could just see when he gets called up, and I know Scott Nichols just raved about his character and, you know, his development and how bad he wants to play in the NHL. And I think he really showed that by the games that he got and the way that he played when he got called up here. So you're right, though, the dollars and cents mean a lot. But if it's a matter of a two-way contract or a one-way, personally, I'm not the GM, obviously, but if it's me making that call, I'm giving a one way at the right amount of money. I'm not gonna, you know, back up the Brinks truck or anything like that. But I'm giving him a one way because I think he's a roster player.
Let's take a look at the Western Conference final right now. It's tied at one apiece. Vegas kind of flexed their muscle last night, won fairly easily. In fact, they really dominated the first two periods, and then just sort of hung on from there. When Vegas is clicking, boy, they are impressive. I don't see too many holes in them. But tell me how you see the series. Does Dallas have a legit shot?
Oh man, I don't. You know, after last night, I don't know. I just felt Vegas right from the start. I just thought they were better than everybody in the West. I didn't really expect Dallas to get by Colorado, to be honest with you. But Colorado had the goalie issues there, and I think eventually that caught up to them. Although Dallas played really well, they've had some goalie issues of their own. So I really don't think Dallas has a chance to beat Vegas. I just think they're too good, just from what I've seen with you know, the goaltending combo of Robin Leonard's playing unbelievable, and then you got Marc-Andre Fleury in your back pocket. Dallas doesn't have that. Hudobin's played well in the playoffs. Bishop's heard that Ottinger had to go in. Jake Ottinger's first ever NHL experience. I think it was the third period last night. But man, after last night, that was just a clinic. So I think Dallas is better than they were last night, but I still don't think they have what it takes to beat Vegas.
Just for perspective, there are a lot of Predator fans that argue that it's time for some sort of shakeup, right? Even beyond letting Craig Smith and Mikhail Granlund walk in free agency, or even beyond making a deal to trade Kyle Turris in some form. Some people are saying you got to shake it up. Maybe one of the core players needs to go. Make a big trade. Just for perspective, it's interesting. Sportsnet has a list of 25 trade candidates, and it's interesting because it's the same kind of list. You've got guys like Johnny Gaudreau on this list. You've got some big name players like Oliver Ekman-Larsson on the list. Matt Murray, a star goalie. Brandon Saad. I mean, it's a long list. It's really intriguing. I invite people to look at. But it just goes to show that every team has probably got, unless you're still playing right now, every team's got a list of guys that they're not 100% happy with, or they're trying to figure out how to tweak their formula to get to the championship.
Yeah, it's a challenge, and it's, you know, you have to find the right partner, I guess, that, you know, what they're looking for matches what you have and what they're looking for. So I really don't think the Predators need this, you know, to blow up their team. I know that the last couple of years in the playoffs haven't been what they want. I just think when I look at their team and the personnel they have, this league is just so darn competitive. There's a couple teams that every year that are up there with, you know, the Tampas and, you know, a couple of, like, you know, maybe Vegas I'd put in there, but even them, they're no surefire thing. And when it comes to the playoffs, it's all about timing, and it's all about when you start playing your best hockey. I really feel, you know, you can't go back into the hypotheticals, but at the end of the year, how well the Preds were playing, they were one of the top teams in the league. They have the roster. They have the players that are able to get to that level. Mind you, the last couple regular seasons, there's been some really frustrating times in that where you look at the team and you think, nah, this doesn't feel right. It just doesn't, they're just missing something, or they're just not gelling, or there's, you know, this issue for too long or this issue for too long. So I do think it's time for some change. I don't think it's time to blow everything up and start all over again. It's just not realistic. You can't do that. And they've got a lot of long-term contracts, but a lot of long-term contracts they have are good. And some of them, you know, maybe not so good. So you have to find, you know, someone that's maybe in the same situation that, you know, you can get a, you know, if you're talking about a Kyle Turris, and you can get something, you know, someone's looking for, you know, that type of a skill player, and you can get some grit back that's maybe in a long-term contract that they're trying to move, and, you know, maybe make something like that happen. I think it's possible. But if you're talking about moving, you know, letting a couple UFAs go off, you know, off in test free agency and do that type of thing, and then, you know, overhaul 5, 6, 7 players, it's just not realistic. You have to do it. You can bring in some youth, you know, maybe make a trade or two. I don't know, two trades is pretty tough to do. And then just hope, you know, you draft really well, because this is the first time in a while the Preds have some serious draft picks in the first couple rounds, I think, which is huge for them. You know, I'm sure David Poile is going to be on the phones working, you know, trying to do his magic and address. He made it pretty clear, I think, at the end of the season that there will be change. Just a matter, it's just not realistic, I think. I know what you're talking about, Willie, about some of the fans just wanting a complete overhaul, and that's just not realistic, I don't think. So, but there will be change.
Mace, had my friends up from Atlanta this past weekend staying at the house, and we stayed up Saturday night and Sunday night till 3 in the morning playing euchre.
Nice. Yeah.
Got my euchre fix in. We still haven't done that. We need to, at some point, we will have to schedule a euchre game.
We will, and I'll be down for that too. I love that game, and it is one of those games where you start playing, and all of a sudden 4 hours later
you lose track of time.
Oh boy,
yeah, that's exactly right. We looked up and we're like, oh wow, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. So I guess we need to. But you're right, we did that for 4 or 5 hours. We played; it was great every night. So it was a good time. Hey, just like this. Thanks for doing this as always. Have a great rest of your week. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Chris Mason. Every Wednesday at 1 o'clock, and we always enjoy our hockey chats with him. We'll come back and expand a little bit more on what we just talked about. And we'll take it a little bit deeper with some of the news out there on the Predators end and just to do a little bit deeper dive on that on the other side. But right now, I want to talk to you about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. And I've been talking to you about them for years because I've been going there for years. They've been helping me for years improve my quality of life, and I hope you want that like I do. As we all get older, things start happening, and they do a lot of things under one roof. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is the board-certified physician over there, and his wife Daphne is the registered nurse, and their experienced staff, they want to help you. And maybe you've been feeling sluggish. Maybe you haven't had any desire to get moving, work out, get going, just haven't felt yourself. Well, get in there and talk to them about hormone replacement therapy. They can check your levels, make sure everything is okay. You don't understand, whenever those levels plummet, that that could be affecting your moods, just the pep in your step, all those things. And they've got programs and things to help you in that department. Face and body rejuvenation, weight loss management, which is vitally important these times. Maybe we've all gotten out of our routine. Maybe put on a couple pounds that you would like to get rid of. They've got programs and people there that can help you get going in the right direction. Cool Springs MD. If you would like to schedule a consultation or make an appointment, dial 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. They've got their big, beautiful facility over there right off 65. If you want to learn everything you need to know about them, what they house under one roof, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com.